Well, and good evening, y'all. Wednesday night, third day of February. Wednesday night programs have a tendency to maybe be too morbid for some of you. I've learned from little birds that due to the morbidity and the darkness of many of the things that we share on this program, on this particular hour, that the audience tends to dwindle as the program goes on. And that is your loss. Welcome to The Edge of Darkness, our Wednesday installment entitled To Health With You. And you see, that is part of the problem. People don't really want to hear about health-related issues. It's too uncomfortable. Why? In many instances, what we try to bring you are uplifting things. Yes, we have to talk about the darkness before we can provide the light. Share with you things that can be of help to you. Am I a doctor? Hell no. Thank God for it. My early medical training began in June of 1968, landing in Vietnam, and volunteered to be a patient protector, one who flew on the right side of a Huey to protect the patients and myself and other crew members who some people might take pot shots at from out in the jungle. There were times that I assisted the medics. That's the closest to any medical training that I ever had until I met William Donald Kelly. And I'm not going to share that whole story with you today because I want to lay this groundwork. Just because one does not have that medical certificate hanging on the wall doesn't mean that they don't have some distinct understanding and knowledge about the... Hang on. No, it's not COVID. I'm choking on something I ate before I went on the air. Dumbest thing I could have done. I mean, Bennett, you're ready to run your mouth and you're gagging on crackers or some darn thing. That's the basis. I have never in my life stopped reading, stopped studying. Yes, the subjects vary. Over this past nearly a year, this nation and the rest of the world has suffered the ravages of the Rona. The masks, now the vaccinations, which are becoming more and more questionable by the day. My listener friend Jim sent me a video today via text that unfortunately I can't save. Now, I am not a subscribed member of BitChute, and I guess I'm going to have to become one because they are putting out far superior information. And the basis of this is but 2 days old, and it deals specifically with the vaccinations. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We have lost, I've lost track of the numbers. Michael, maybe you know it from something that's up on the RBN Facebook page. We've lost something like, what, close to 500,000 people have died over the last year. Is that just in this country? Is this around the world? I don't even know. That's in a year's time period. Let's bring this a little closer to home. 27,000 people died of cancer today across the globe. Patients have reported being denied cancer cure. Cancer care. Can't say cure because that's not even the script. They've been denied kidney dialysis, urgent transplant surgeries. I have a family that I know here in the Valley. Tonya and her husband, Troy. Tonya is this absolutely exquisite woman who happens to be black, who survived cancer years ago. She's gone on to graduate the university with 2 degrees. She owned, along with her husband Troy, who, by the way, happens to be a minister. I've watched their children grow up. They're amazing kids. Absolutely amazing kids. And I've known almost all of them since they were children. Tonya owned a club here in the Valley. I used to eat there. Probably 99% of the other people that were eating there happened to be people of color. They were black. She knew some very interesting people in Hollywood. She had a radio program for many years here in the Valley. Troy is waiting for a transplant, and he's been waiting for over a year because of the Rona. 27,000 people died of cancer alone today. And tomorrow, another 27,000 cancer patients will die. Each year, 10 million more perish. Doctors still cannot tell us why. World health officials do not seem to care. Well, of course the doctors cannot tell you why, because they're going to have to admit that it's all about the money, honey. In this country, by executive order, all non-essential medical procedures were ended to preserve hospital capacity around the country. Where these flatten the curve, destroy the world orders were actually sourced is not clear, but all over American hospitals back then were empty. And they were waiting for floods of COVID-19 patients, but few arrived at one time. In parts of New York City, resources became thin. That's because the governor put them all in old people's homes so they could mingle together and die. Other parts of this country, hospitals almost entirely stopped doing business. And then the financial crisis hit. 260-some, 270-some-odd hospitals had furloughed their workers. Then President Dandy Don sent a 1,000-bed hospital ship to New York, where it sat unused. And during the worst weeks in New York, videos were taken in front of several hospitals, all of which were deserted. And then the end of May of last year came. 500 doctors wrote to Trump warning that the lockdown would cause more deaths than the virus. California doctors said that they had seen more deaths from suicide than coronavirus since the lockdowns went into effect. In so quiet were hospitals at the local University of Washington Medical Center, with several hospitals and clinics, were faced with a $500 million shortfall by the end of summer. Yeah, they weren't doing transplants. They weren't doing kidney stuff. They weren't doing cancer surgery. Nothing. So then by 5,500, staff were furloughed. Other large medical systems in Western Washington reported similar staff reductions. Delayed care, delayed tests, delayed treatment. Slow-moving train wreck kept heading our way. Zaria Gorvit had stated, as I shared with you earlier, across the globe, patients have reported being denied cancer care, kidney dialysis, and urgent transplant surgeries, but not sometimes with fatal results, far more often than we'd like to see. Lockdown, the lockdowns of the nation hurt cancer patients, killed cancer victims. At that time, 1,200 patients and survivors surveyed by the American Cancer Society in the first 2 weeks of May of last year. 87% said the pandemic had affected their health care, as compared to 51% the month before. So there's many ways the overreaction of health officials had hurt cancer patients. I hate calling them cancer patients. They're cancer victims in more ways than one. Victims because the cure is out there. It's been proven tens of thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times. But that's not the way the medical community wishes to address the issues. One of the most potent cancer combating weapons is exercise. Several studies have shown that physical activity was linked with decreased risk of some cancers, particularly breast and colon. People who followed healthy lifestyle habits, including exercising for more than 30 minutes a day, lowered their risk of colorectal cancer. That's according to a study that was done in October in a British medical journal, wherein they stated, in one meta-analysis, one of 305 randomized controlled trials, including just over 339,000 participants, researchers compared exercise with drug interventions on mortality in diabetes and heart disease. They found there was no statistically detectable difference in those who used exercise or took medication in the prevention of coronary heart disease and diabetes. In fact, exercise was found to be more helpful than prescription drugs for those who'd had a stroke. There's a comic that I came across a few days ago. It was actually done in 2006, I believe. Shows a doctor and a teacher in a doctor's medical coat standing up at a blackboard. This is allegedly the first day of medical school. And the doctor is pointing his little stick up at the blackboard where it's written in chalk, a patient cured is a customer lost. That's another part of the medical community's problems. Keeping people indoors instead of exercising and being out in the sun is not a good idea for cancer victims. I'd be willing to bet that world health officials did not consider that a lack of sunlight can also cause cancer. Vitamin D deficiencies, lack of light, can lead to the development of prostate and breast cancer, memory loss, and an increased risk for developing dementia and schizophrenia. Dr. Richard J. Wertman, a nutritionist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that's MIT, states that it seems clear that light is the most important environmental input after food in controlling body function. Keep this in mind, my friends. Light also helps to create better food. But somehow, the Bill Gates of the world and the Monsantos and the Bayers of the world have made determinations that whatever you want to spray on your food just to make them insect-free and GMO and make them grow faster and provide no nutrition. All they want to do is fill our bellies. But then, of course, if people can't work, they can't afford to buy food, oh, that's a story for another day. Dr. Wertman goes on to say that sometimes I get the impression my dermatologist colleagues would be happiest if we lived in caves. He recommends daily 20-minute walks at noon to get the sunlight we need. Which is exactly what health officials want the public to do. That's what they wanted the public to do in the early stages of the Rona. The health officials want the public to make caves out of their own homes and damn the consequences. They didn't want us out in the sunlight. They didn't want us, as Shirley Temple once sang as a young girl, "I want to walk in the rain." Cancer is helped by sunbathing. Those who get more sunlight have less cancer. Sunbathing heals cancer by building up the immune system, increasing the oxygen in the tissues. Sunlight does not cause skin cancer unless one suffers through chronic sunburn. That's from Dr. Zane Keim, author of a book entitled Sunlight Could Save Your Life. Doctors and hospitals over the last year have been operating in such an uncertain environment, meaning that we patients need to adjust to a new reality, which could entail for the general public to realize that maybe we don't need as much help from doctors as we thought. Perhaps we need to finally realize that they too often hurt more than they help. Intentionally? Probably not. These times, my friends, have provided us the perfect moment for taking back responsibility for our own health from the medical industrial complex led by the big pharmaceutical companies. If we're not going to hospitals out of fear of the corona, what are we doing instead? And so it now becomes time to learn about natural allopathic medicine because it is easy to learn and to apply. And by God, it's so inexpensive compared to Western medicine. Extremely effective and reliable. You can safely do it all at home. And frankly, we all have little choice going forward. During an economic crash, what do you think is going to happen to very expensive medical approaches? I mean, it's kind of time to start stocking up on strong natural medicines, things like magnesium, bicarbonate, iodine, selenium. Learn how to use them. Now, I have to honestly say that over this last year, year and a half, my brain has wandered off because I've just been damn busy. And the last year has been somewhat stressful. It has in some respects and not so in others. I mean, I still get up, go to the post office, finish up there, go up to the bank. I understand that my local branch of my bank has reopened now after having been shut down again for 2 months because somebody got the Rona. I still have yet to set foot back in there and just see some of the people I know to see how they're doing. Because I can drive up to, and my branch does not have a drive-thru. It's kind of a weird building. And so I finish up at the post office, sit there in my car, stamp my stuff, cash my checks, go deposit them, etc. I hit the drive-thru at the other one. A little further out of the way, but it's not that far away from the post office, so why the hell not just go do it? Let me share this with you. Well, I've started to share this with you. So over the last year, year and a half or so, I've kind of unintentionally weaned myself away from some of the natural medicines. Things that have been, shall we say, prescribed to me by Dr. E. Some of them I've forgotten what they're for and how to take them, but interestingly enough, by the way, today I got all my email problems resolved. But don't let that bother you. Continue to use the email that I published up on the top of each of the websites and use that one because I'm still going to be making some changes. But I got it all resolved. Unfortunately, they're refusing to give me my money back because the refund will only take place within the first 30 days. And I said, well, guess what? I've been bitching for far more than that first 30 days. You guys owe it to me, but they're not going to cave in. So anyway, going through some of my old emails, I have a group of emails that I've saved from some years back, all from Dr. E. And I came across my list of exactly when, what, why, when, and where I'm supposed to take these things. So I'm going to go back to all. I know where to get all of them if I happen to run out. Maybe some of them are too old. I don't know. But then what the hell? So am I. Let me share this with you. Staying away from doctors and hospitals can be a damn good thing, folks. The U.S. response to the Rona turned a mid-sized pandemic into a catastrophic and into a catastrophe, and cancer patients certainly have suffered for it. So it's a good time to see a positive side for some cancer patients who might be better off without hospitals and doctors ready to slash and burn patients unnecessarily. And based on the results of the studies, women who present with a new diagnosis of breast cancer already in stage 4 should not be offered surgery and radiation for the primary breast tumor with the expectation of a survival benefit. That according to a doctor named Seema A. Khan, who says, when making these decisions, it's important to focus our energy and resources on the proven therapies that can prolong life. I'll read that for you in plain English without the accent. Dr. Khan says, when making these decisions, it is important to focus energy and resources on proven therapies that can prolong life. From Forbes magazine, the statement was, the millions of casualties of a continued shutdown will be hiding in plain sight, but they will be called alcoholism, homelessness, suicide, heart attack, stroke, or kidney failure. 600 physicians who said lockdowns were a mass casualty incident. That was published in Forbes magazine. Maybe the pandemic has not been such a bad idea for cancer patients because doctors are one of the main causes of cancer. No wonder we've lost the war. Chemotherapy, radiation, all that junk are both intrinsically carcinogenic treatments. Take the cancer drug tamoxifen. classified by the World Health Organization and the American Cancer Society as a human carcinogen. And it's been documented to cause over 24 health-destroying side effects. And yet it's still used as a first-line treatment for certain types of breast cancer. So having less medical attention might actually save some lives. Some lives. Maybe a lot more of them could be saved if they'd stop paying attention to the rest of this caca. New York Times says that these interventions can be just as brutal on the patient as they are on a tumor. Dr. Ulrich Abel, who pored over thousands of cancer studies, published a shocking report in 1990 stating that chemo had done nothing for 80% of all cancers. Skip. It had done nothing for 80% of all cancers. That 80% of chemotherapy administered was worthless. 80%! Ulrich Abel, by the way, was a German epidemiologist and biostatistician. Ulrich Abel was a German epidemiologist. That makes me assume that he's no longer with us. And so, my friends, with everything that is happening in the world today, cancer patients have to adapt. Perhaps turn away from the tests and the treatments that increase one's chances of getting cancer. The surgery, the biopsies, the CAT scans, the x-rays, the mammograms, chemo, radiation. Every one of these things increase one's chances of dying from cancer. I read a piece today by my friend Dr. Merle, who talked about how cancer and radiation in the medical community can help up to 55% of people who have survived cancer by 5 years still live. I need to talk to Merle about that. Here's the interesting thing about it. Those who choose to follow the practices of alternative cancer treatment, and I'm talking about legitimate programs, not bogus ones, the survival rate is in the 85% area. That's pretty profound. Patients want to maximize their chances of surviving cancer, or more importantly, avoiding it altogether. Perhaps through all the climactic changes that are upon us in these troublesome times, we'll finally open up to a new form of oncology, a natural oncology. Copy, Dr. Mark Cercas. June of last year. Does that date all of this? No. Just remember, 27,000 people died of cancer today. That's profound. That's 730,000 in a year. Far greater than the losses that we've suffered with the Rona. That doesn't mean I'm... Well, we know that many of the losses in coronavirus are bogusly reported anyway. It's unbelievable. But there are other issues with the coronavirus, with the COVID, that are causing other problems. And these deaths are being reported, or they're not. This so-called pandemic that I openly refer to as a plandemic the consequences of all of it have been enormous. At one time, not too long ago, days ago, as a matter of fact, the claim was that over 400,000 American deaths had been attributed to the virus. Yes, more are going to follow. And even after almost a year, the pandemic still paralyzes this country thanks to the mainstream media and people like Dr. Faust, Bill Gates, and some of the other characters. And despite all efforts, there's been an undeniable failure to stop cases from rapidly escalating and preventing hospitalizations and death. And here's the reality. Almost all states and major cities, with a handful of exceptions, have implemented severe restrictions for many months, including the closures of business, in-person school attendance, mobility restrictions, curfews, quarantines, limits on group gatherings, mask mandates dating back to at least the summer. None of those measures significantly changed the typical pattern of the damage from the SARS-2 virus. President Joey openly admitted as much in his speech to the nation on January the 22nd when he said there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. But you see, instead of rethinking the results of implemented policies, many want to blame those who oppose the lockdowns and mandates for the failure of the very lockdowns and mandates that were widely implemented. I'm reading stories, my friends, about massive increases in suicide. I can't remember the school district or the state that apparently is demanding the schools reopen because the suicide of students is unbelievable. So now we got President Joey. Ironically, thinks that all, you know, he sets up all these new plans. Well, somebody wrote him. He drooled over him. While his so-called vice president, Kamala Wana. I'd like to think that new policies would coincide with a decrease in cases, because that decrease is already evident across the United States. Hospitalizations in every age group by the CDC data, as well as deaths, have begun to decline, confirming that trend is the marked drop in symptomatic COVID-19 patients coming to emergency rooms. It's down 40% from its peak a month ago. It's all become lower than that seen before Thanksgiving. Despite that reality, is there any doubt about how most of the American media will portray this in their analysis of the administration's first 100 days? Let's be clear about behavior. Social mobility tracking of Americans and data from Gallup and YouGov and the COVID-19 consortium, and let's not forget the CDC. Oh, yeah, they've all shown significant reduction of movement, as well as a consistently high percentage of mask wearing since the late summer. Similar, of course, to Western European countries and approaching that of Asia. A high percentage of mask wearing. Oh, of course, now they want you to wear 2 masks and 3 masks. I had to go to the post office this morning, and every time I get there, I look for this woman. The one that stood behind me in the post office. And I don't cover my nose. I'll play the game and put it up. And, you know, these are these disposable ones. You're supposed to wear them once and do an anal swipe and then flush it down the toilet. No, don't squint. I'm trying to get you at least smile and laugh. You know, that's the next thing they want to do to test us for coronavirus is an anal swipe. And I saw pictures of people in China who just had it done, and they're all limping and crimping to get out of this place. Oh, God. What a mess. And she stood behind me, and I didn't have my nose covered. And she started getting real bitchy with me. Oh, I know what she drives. One of those little mini Cadillac SUV type things, you know. The mini Escalade or whatever the heck they call them. And very snottily said to me that you must, please, you know, she doesn't say please, she says, sir, cover your nose. I said, no, ma'am, I won't do that because then I can't breathe, which is a very large percentage of the problems with everybody who covers their mouth and their nose. And she started getting real snotty with me. I just turned and said, man, why don't you mind your own business? I am minding my own business. To which I responded, if you're minding your own business, then get back. You're standing closer than six feet to me. And she shut up. America seems to have some internal comparisons. Now, Florida, a large, diverse, highly populated state, stands out as having one of the highest percentages of vulnerable elderly in the entire nation. One of only two states with more than 20% of their population is over 65 years of age. Florida widely opened their schools and businesses months ago, discarded most of the mobility restrictions, ended the mandates. They did not eliminate cases or hospitalizations or deaths, but Florida has outperformed most states during this recent stage, including those with warm climates like California. But then they got Nancy Pelosi's nephew as their governor. And California, of course, had implemented long-standing lockdowns. And unfortunately, they ticked a lot of people off, and they all packed up and sold out and moved to Arizona. Now they're becoming a bunch of raving idiots over here. They want to change Arizona. Why? Why do you want to do that? Number one, you got the same kind of illegal population you had in California. Isn't that amongst the reasons you wanted to get out of there? Apparently not. Either that or these people are coming over here so damn stupid. Oh, by the way, Florida's deaths per capita has also beaten over half the country as well as the national average. Even if Floridians on their own behave similarly to people under mandates, why is that not a subject of open discussion? Why is it not highlighted by the media? Separate from their limited value in containing the virus, efficacy that has also often been grossly exaggerated in published papers. Lockdown policies have been extraordinarily harmful. The harms to children of closing in-person schooling have been dramatic, including poor learning. Not that I believed the learning they were getting in school was worth a damn anyway. School dropouts, social isolation, suicide ideation, most of which are far worse for lower income groups. I have to be careful of the word school dropouts, because sometimes school dropouts means mommy and daddy got wise to the crap the schools were teaching and pulled the kids out of school, period. And now, pray God, they're homeschooling. But we know that's not solely the case. A recent study confirms that up to 78% of cancers were never detected due to missed screening over a three-month time period. If one extrapolates to the entire country, where about 150,000 new cancers are diagnosed every month, 3/4 to over 1 million new cases over 9 months would have gone undetected. And that health disaster adds to missed critical surgeries, delayed presentations of pediatric illnesses, heart attacks, stroke patients too afraid to call emergency services. All this is well documented. And so beyond hospital care, the CDC reported fourfold increases in depression, threefold increases in anxiety symptoms, and a doubling of suicidal ideation, particularly among young adults after the first few months of lockdowns. Well, those aren't the ones that were out marching with Antifa and BLM because they don't give a damn. But all of this does echo the AMA reports of drug overdoses and suicides. And guess what happened today? Or maybe it was yesterday. The governor of Oregon has signed a bill. She's another wacko. Completely making drugs totally legal in that state. No jail time. Oh, no, man. Because after all, these people need help, don't they? Domestic abuse and child abuse have been skyrocketing due to the isolation, specifically to the loss of jobs in the strictest lockdowns. And given that many in-person schools have been closed, hundreds of thousands of abuse cases are never reported. Because schools are the number one agency where abuse is noticed. But finally, the unemployment shock from lockdowns, according to a new study, will generate a 3% increase in mortality rate and a 0.5% drop in life expectancy over the next 15 years. And according to the report, disproportionately affecting African Americans and women, all of which translates into what they called a staggering 890,000 additional U.S. deaths from the lockdowns. And my friends, we know we've not yet seen the full extent of the damage from these lockdowns because it will last for decades. Maybe it's why lockdowns were not recommended in previous pandemic analysis, even for infections with far higher death rates. That's right. Other pandemics that we've had far higher death rates than we've witnessed with this sucker. And so to determine the best path forward, shouldn't policymakers objectively consider both the data and the totality of impact of policies to date? Because that's the importance of health policy experts with a broader scope of expertise than that of epidemiologists and basic scientists. All necessarily means that admitting that social lockdowns and significant restrictions on individuals are deadly, extraordinarily harmful, especially on the working class and the poor. Well, I'd like to say that optimistically we're seeing the light at the end of the long tunnel with the rollout of vaccines. They're now cranking out 1.5 million a day. But on the other hand, using logic that would put Alice in Wonderland's Mad Hatter to shame, the new vaccines have been more frequently administered first to healthier, younger people instead of those whose life is at risk. But then you must understand, as my friend Jeff and Hazel have said, no vaccines, nowhere, no way. Few states have administered most of their vaccinations to people over 65. Many have given more than 80% to low-risk age groups. You know why? Because they're too stupid to say no way. Why is the fact that tens of millions already have biological protection after being infected with the virus, so they shouldn't be immediate priorities, not even acknowledged? And so we go back in history. The times of Galileo. This problem of vested academic interests. Many universities have overtly intimidated views contrary to their own, seemingly for political motives. It's left many of them afraid to speak up. But then if they come from the universities, I wish they'd shut up anyway. And yet there are university mottos like Harvard's Truth, Stanford's The Winds of Freedom Blow. Oh, did Kamala go there? And of course, Yale's got their term Light and Truth. Maybe it all needs revision. I mean, you know, there's large numbers of people who think our history should all be flushed down the drain anyway. No Washington, no Jefferson, no Lincoln, no this, no that. So why not, you know, they're making them take the statues down. Let's let them make their university mottos and change all of them. Social media has piled on with a heavy hand to eliminate discussion of conflicting evidence. Oh, no, don't go to, you know, Twitter and Twatter and sit on your Facebook and the rest of these idiotic places. Stop laughing, Jeff. Yeah. And they are going to shut down views that they don't want to be heard. And they'll come up with this off. That's been proven. Fact check. Yeah, right. Without permitting, indeed encouraging open debate, admission of errors, we might never solve any future crisis, my friends. Political, health-wise, and otherwise. America is now a country where differing interpretations of science, in order to seek the truth, is the new anathema. And that I fear that the science has been seriously damaged. Many have simply become fatigued by the arguments. And all of that is even worse because fatigue will allow fallacy to triumph over truth. Maybe Harvard Medical School professor Martin Kulldorff was correct when he lamented that after 300 years, the age of enlightenment has ended. And so, when we consider that statement, I have to address the media. I have to address the likes of the Facebooks and the Twitters and all these other various ways that people talk to each other today. Not with. It's all, most of it's done on their phone, their 5G phones, which is frying their brains to begin with. As I began to think about tonight's program yesterday, I've got some very intense updated stuff on the whole 5G mess, and my intent was to include it in tonight's program. But one thing led to another. And I had to stay on it. Gotcha. Unbelievable. Cool. We'll talk, deal. I'll give you a rough idea. Fairly common dates. Dr. E's out listening tonight. And, yeah. It is interesting. I think I shared with you last week, I wound up doing two health shows on Wednesday and Thursday night. Last Friday night was an amazingly intense program. If you did not hear it, I strongly urge you go back to the archives and listen to it. It is probably one of the most profound programs I have done in years. That would have been on the 29th. That would be the archives for Friday, January 29th. Blew me away. I got a note from a doctor who listens. And on Friday night, he stated to me, patted me on the back for the health programs I'd done on Wednesday and Thursday night. But that particular night, he was fixing dinner at home. He said, it's amazing how many times he tunes in. And he's in the kitchen doing the cooking. But that particular night, his children are home for dinner. I don't know how old his kids were. I don't know if they're grown and kind of live down the road and they just happen to come over to have dinner with dear old dad or what. And he had the kids sit down and listen to the program. I hope I was able to reach some. And that's our goal here. to teach, to share, to, in many respects, attempt to challenge you, to take responsibility, in this case, for your own health. I'm going to be doing some more sections on some of the benefits of some of these alternative so-called meds. They benefited me in times. They benefited many, many, many others. And I want to share some of that with all of you. Some of the other pieces, another piece that I published today is a very brief piece. I want you to go to drkelly.info, and it deals with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's symptoms helped by homeopathy. And it is a very brief piece, but it's kind of a dangling bit of hope. All of this came about because late last night I was reading an unbelievable story about a man's Alzheimer's at the age of 94. I'm hoping to get my recording equipment set up and tested. It's one of these programs that for many reasons I want to record. And I want to record it and just send the disc up to the network and say, run it. Because there's things that I want to control in it that I cannot control if I have the network do it directly. It's not to take away from the network. Michael does an amazing job for me. And if I said, take this, 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 and this, the only neat thing is when I'm recording it, I can slip the music in at the moment I want it to. I can fade it up and I can fade it down, and I can get across to each and every one of you exactly what I want to get across. It is an amazing story. I've suspected it with this individual for a number of years. And I read it last night, and I knew that I had to record. Anyway, we near the end of our time. Much of what I've shared with you tonight can be read on Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer website, drkelly.info. You've got some suspicions about cancer. You've got some things. I strongly urge to pick up a copy of Dr. Kelly's book. If you've not been diagnosed with cancer and you want to keep it that way, then you take a look at the other book, The Self-Test for the Different Metabolic Types. I am working with Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez's wife to develop a program. And the next step is mine to get information over to her, and we're going to be doing some things together. That's profound. It's the way it's meant to be, people working together for the common goal. And that's my reason for working with Mary Beth Gonzalez. Good lady, was married to a damn good man. And, yeah, interesting stuff. If you're interested in Dr. Kelly's books, you can go to Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer. Up above the banner, second entry from the right, it says the bookstore. Hold your mouse over it and choose the book you're most interested in. I would choose it just to read about it and get the information. There's a few dollars off on the Kelly package. I do have to get into the site and make some modifications. The postage costs have gone up again. And I think it's up about $1.10 or something like that for one of the programs, etc. Anyway, we're going to close out of here like we always do with Ella. And when they begin, I hope I'm out of here. Thanks for being with me this evening. With glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. See you tomorrow.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars and down by the shore an orchestra's playing and even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin the begin to live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never. Divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.